All right, back to this conversation here about a turning of the tide. Now, like with any turning of the tide, when someone who is in control of something thinks that they're about to lose it, what are they going to do? Fight. So the idea here that the enemy is going to go softly into that good night is just 100% pure bulldinky. The enemy is not going to surrender. The enemy is not going softly into that night. The enemy is going to fight and claw for the illegitimate ground that he has gained because he thinks he owns it. And besides, he hates you and he hates me. So, backing the enemy into the corner, you can already see what the enemy's answer to the Dobbs decision was. And that was, all right, fine. We rig elections all the time, and we're great at lying, stealing, and cheating, and conniving. We're also really good, and we're great propaganda masters. So we're going to go to your state of Ohio, for example, and we're going to convince all the women there that if they don't vote for this Constitution Amendment, they'll never be able to kill a baby created in a drunken night of tequila stupor ever again. And so that's the way that went down, and that's the way that actually happened. Think they can't do that in your state? Because that's the play. That's the play. But in any event, the enemy was previously making it possible at universities in all 50 states to kill the soon-to-be born by the administration of these morning-after pills. And only a few people were paying any attention to that. One of them would have been here on the Crusade Radio Network and on my church show. But understand, as we were talking last segment, and as Bishop Robert Barron has put his finger on this, and I'm not isolating Bishop Barron, I just happen to have the soundbite from him today. You want a cult of life, and that's what we should all be working for, then you're going to have the author of life at the center of it, the creator. This is something that most people go, oh, that's an easy one, TKD. No, it's not. No, it's not, and you have to reverse. You have to reverse decades, if not a century, maybe even more than a century, of incorrect, demonic thinking on these things. So I wonder, if you take an inventory of this, and that's what these two guys who are writing on Twitter about this, and just happened to fall into my lap, and I thought it was pretty cool, and I thought that they had put their finger on, so I thought I would share it with you. This guy's Twitter handle is 8th Century Wood Chipper. He is at Boniface Option, okay. For nearly two generations, our way of life has been built around women's liberation. Leftards, most conservatives, and even many conservative conservative evangelicals, at least implicitly, believe that a young woman has a human right to be promiscuous in her teenage and early adult years, and that a primary calling in life is to have a career and not be a wife and mother. You don't just get to flip a switch and say, all right, abortion is banned, and Thanos snap it out of existence. Little Marvel Cinematic Universe reference for you. When the entire structure of your culture is built around this. For decades, the evangelical reaction to a cult built on women's liberation was to tacitly approve of it. Telling women they should get married and have babies is idolatry of the family. Telling young women that promiscuity will destroy them is met with, Jesus wants the rose. The cultural drive for young women to waste their prime childbearing years on vacations and brunch is called the gift of singleness, you see. Now, isn't that an interesting way to put it? The cultural drive for young women to waste their prime childbearing years on vacations and brunch is called, oh, no! It's not a waste of your childbearing years. Don't think of it. No. It's a seizing. If you go out and explore and see the world and find yourself years and have brunch with your friends and do pub crawls and stuff. The The church has neglected to discipline or to discipline its own members into sane cultural practices. So how on earth can we expect everyone else to suddenly reject the sexual revolution? What are you witnessing right now politically? Is the GOP desperately fumbling to try to navigate a successful political strategy in a world shaped by the sex revolution, and much of the evangelical church very much wants to keep it, just without the attendant human sacrifice? The cultural change within the Christian world will have to be far, far more radical if we ever want to put abortion to an end. Most of what is considered normal these days is going to have to be aggressively driven out. It is not going to happen just by electing a couple of the right people and passing a law or two. There is much longer road ahead of us than nearly anyone is ready to admit. I want to go back to the about the GOP desperately fumbling to try to navigate a successful political strategy. Let me tell you what the real danger of what Trump did with this. We're going to have the states. It's going to be the will of the people. Whatever the will of the people is, it's going to be the law of the land. And the Republican Party, and we're going to go with states' rights. Whatever the states decide. Whatever Biden... We're opposed to Biden. Whatever the states decide is going to be the law of the land, whatever the will of the people. The people are stupid. The people are horn dogs, Mr. President. People cannot be reliant on anything other than at the high water, at the peak of their holiness, to follow holy people and to seek God. Every once in a while, they get it right. That's a good thing. But we're fallen human beings. We're prone to falling away from things, especially the good, the true, and the beautiful. So what Trump has laid in motion here, I think and I fear, is the similar thing to what happened with homo marriage. It was a slow walk. It was no. Marriage is between one man and one woman. No, we're not going to do that. No. We must oppose this. You know, think back in 1998, the Gingrich Congress actually passed the DOMA. Without me telling you what the DOMA is, how many of you in the Crusader Stadium chat room or out there in radio listening land remember what DOMA was? The Defense of Marriage Act. That actually passed, and Bill Clinton actually signed it. And I'm going to sign it into law. He actually did sign it into law. And of course, the enemy was not going to let that one pass by, and ultimately kept suing and suing and suing and suing, and finally got a court to agree with them that the Defense of Marriage Act was unconstitutional. Now, I have it on good authority. That's from Herr Dr. Kevin Gutzman, the author of The Politically Incorrect Guide to the Constitution, Who Killed the Constitution, and other great works on the subject, that the DOMA was not unconstitutional. It was the one thing that Gingrich actually got right about that. But the point is that in the late 1990s, let's just say at the turn of the century, the turn of the millennia, the GOP, the Republican Party, was steadfastly in the corner of where it should have been. Which, no, this is a hill to die on. We're going to defend marriage. We're going to defend the cult of life. We're going to defend one man, one woman, husband, wife, with children. Hopefully very little divorce. So the Defense of Marriage Act sought to codify this into law. You fast forward to 2013, by the time the Obergefell decision comes down, and the Republican Party is in a complete surrender mode now. Now it's, oh, okay, all right, well, they can have the marriage, but they can't do this. And now in almost every state in the land, in Georgia, for heaven's sake, it is legal for adoption agencies to place beautiful, precious children that have been rescued from abortuariums and have been put up for adoption to place those children with one man, one woman. Wrong answer. One man, one man. which almost always leads to pederasty, molestation, rape, and abuse. That's what that produces. Now, this is an absolutely horrid state of affairs. But the fact of the matter is that the Republican Party no longer stands for one man, one woman, holy matrimony. It won't defend it if you ask it to. I mean, there are some Republicans that will, but it won't defend it because it knows that that train has left the station. That's what's going to happen with abortion. And that's why Trump's message is dangerous. And why, if it's not opposed, if you don't say, hey, I think you need to backtrack on that, Mr. President, which is what Marjorie Dannenfelser is trying to say. Now, I'm not sure that I agree with Marjorie, but I understand her point of view, and I'll play it a clip from when she is the head of the president of the Susan B. Anthony List, one of the most pro-life organizations in the world. If you don't set a benchmark and then work your way down from there, when she says set the benchmark at 15 weeks, and she even said, look, we want it at zero.